Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
Yes, it is. And yes, I am. It is Motto at Midnight. I am your host, Motto Sasquatch. Thank you for joining us today on this very special edition of Motto at Midnight. It's not a very special edition of our house, like every edition was a special edition. They didn't have any ordinary editions of our house, but this is. Many of my shows are really quite ordinary, but this is a very special one. This is my fourth anniversary episode, and I'm looking here frantically to see if we have some applause, sound effect, something that might be appropriate for this grand occasion, because I had to go click my little introduction there. And that takes me away from all of the rather voluminous sound effects. Here, here. Boy, I'm just such an awful... Here, wait a minute. Let's do this. Okay, that'll have to do. This is your fourth anniversary edition of Mud Till at Midnight. And, you know, since the show started 4 years ago, close to 50 different people have listened to it, and it's affected them in certain ways, maybe in ways that they didn't want it to affect them. But in any case, I'm still here. It's one of the privileges of doing internet radio is that you answer to no one but yourself. That's not quite true, because this isn't my channel. It's Chief Iggy's channel, the With Insights radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. He is the programmer, and I am here at his invitation, just as you are here at my invitation to listen to my ramblings and my fumblings, and hopefully together we find something, some reason for us to have both been here at this time. That's the reason that I show up just about every Friday at midnight. I've missed a few, but you know, there's been about 200. At 4 years times 52 weeks is 208, and I've probably missed a few, but I'll bet, I know I've missed a few, but I also know that I am over 200 episodes of this show now. So I think, you know, that's something to think about. You know, all the things that have been spoken of, and the way things that have changed over the years that I've been doing it. When the show started back in 2011, have I got that right? Yes, 2015 minus 4 is 2011. It was sort of an inspiration of Chief Iggy's that he was doing. The only radio show on the network on Mondays with his sister Rosa, and they were doing readings. They were doing readings on Mondays at 6 p.m., and that was all that was occupying this channel. And Iggy thought that that wasn't quite creative enough of a use of this medium. I don't think I was second. I think Ananda of Love, who's no longer doing a show on the network, but who may come back, she keeps saying she's going to come back. I believe her show was already on at that point. And who else? I think at the point I came on, there was Iggy and two other shows going. It may have been Psychics in the City that was going at that time. I'm not quite sure. But I was having dinner with Chief Iggy. And Chief Hot Four Hawks, I'm not quite sure how many hawks he is. I think he's four hawks. And talking about the radio situation, and he said they wanted me to do a show. And I said I can't do a show on on that network, because it's all the shows were about readings or some sort of light work, and that's not me. And Iggy said that's exactly why they wanted me to do it. They wanted a different kind of show, a different sort of perspective. And I said it would answer that this time slot, the Friday at midnight time slot, would answer to that. You know, radio show on in the middle of the night. You know, who does that? Well, me, and I think nobody else. Well, I can't say nobody. I know there are lots of other shows. I don't know how many. There are probably thousands of shows on Blog Talk Radio, the big network, that you could choose from. So I'm certainly glad that you did choose from this one tonight on this very, 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 very special occasion. And so here we are. So I started to say, well, that the show started, it was the last, is the last weekend in April 2011. The reason I know that is, like, 3 or 4 weeks into it, I could go back in the archive and find out exactly when the first show was. But the reason I kind of know off the top of my head is that a few weeks after I started doing it, I took a trip to Houston for a convention, a 12-step type convention. And I had to, bring the computer with me and figure out how to make this computer, this Blog Talk thing, work remotely, from someplace other than my home. And I messed it up. I didn't get the. I think I ended up getting. I had a pre-recorded show I wanted to put on, and it didn't take off the way it was supposed to. And I think there was a space of a dead air probably for 3 or 4 minutes while I tried to get my laptop up and running and find a place to plug it in. I was in the courtesy suite of our convention because that was where I could find power to plug it in and not be disturbing people as I was staying with 5 or 6 anyway. We had a suite, and we had 2 extra beds brought in, and I was sleeping on the couch. So let's see, until that's at least 5 people. We'd all come down from my home state together to Texas. Actually, we hadn't come down together. Now that I think about it, I came on the bus, on the Greyhound bus. They all flew, and gosh, these days there's not all that much difference in price between those two things, but. I didn't quite have the extra cash to be able to fly, and I'm not not really inclined to fly. I used to love to fly. I used to fly a lot back in the day when I was in the business world, but these days, no flying. It's my government is telling me that it's dangerous to fly because of all these armed guards and all these searches and all these taking my shoes off. And all these inspecting my packages. My government is telling me, don't do this. This is just way too dangerous. Get away from this airplane. Drive your car. Take the bus. Do something, but don't fly. And that's unfortunate in many ways, because this whole culture has grown up around flying, just as there's a culture that's grown up around cars. But sometimes I think, sometimes I know we take these things too far. Maybe it's really not necessary for us to be able to fly directly from any point in the country. Let's say I think you could get to just about any place in the country from just about any place else with one stop. At most places you can get there directly. If it's a hub, you can get there directly. If not, you go through a hub and that's your only stop. Is it really necessary for us to have enough planes and enough aviation infrastructure? Have we invested, because we say we've invested too little in our aviation infrastructure, and that's why it's sort of not bearing up under the weight. Have we just put too much, as a culture, do we just put too much demands for those sort of things? If something becomes, it's possible for us to have this thing where we can, I want to go to Houston today. So I'll step on a plane, I'll go there. Maybe it had not to be that easy. Maybe with the cost, and not just the monetary cost, but the social cost, the environmental cost of flight. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to do it. So maybe it should be difficult, and perhaps the TSA people are unwittingly doing us a favor by making the experience of flying such a pain in the ass now. I remember getting on a plane and going to one of my first job interviews. And I knew, nothing of the ways of the world. And I'm on an airplane flying down to Clemson, South Carolina. Clemson is in South Carolina, is it not? There was a Pittsburgh plate glass factory down there, and they were interviewing engineers, and I was just about to graduate from my very large university in the Midwest with an engineering degree, and I was going to say bivouacking, but that kind of implies something other than what I want to imply. Camping is not right either. They put us in a motel. It's close to 20 of us, if I remember, various candidates, and there were six jobs being interviewed for, both, some of them at the Clemson location, some of them at other locations. And the people who were interviewing us, were also in rooms in this hotel, and we went around, we had a rotation, and it was kind of speed dating. We'd go and talk to each of these people for 10 minutes, and they would take their notes on us, and they sent us all home, and I was not one of the people they picked. And that took some time for me to get over, but I was grateful to have had the experience of the first flight, first time in the air, going through the airport, all that wonderful stuff. My first business trip. I had no idea how to travel because at the job interviews I'd done, all the arrangements had been made for me before I went out. I didn't know how to do it myself. So it was quite a production when I tried to rent my first car. And then the car attacked me because it had one of those, they call it passive restraints, and there's absolutely nothing passive about a passive restraint. That thing attacks you when you get in the car. I'm glad they stopped making them. My cousin JR points out via Facebook that we need high-speed rail. Probably do. It's more efficient, certainly, than aircraft, the kind of aircraft we use anyway. So there you go. That wasn't what I was going to talk about, and it has absolutely nothing to do with my fourth anniversary show. I was going to try and talk about how the show has changed between then and now. I think I've already talked about that. I may actually have said everything I had to say about that last week when I was teasing the show. But the main point is always that I mentioned very early on, my show was disrupted by my going to a 12-steppers convention. My original vision for the show was that's what it was going to be about. It was going to be about a journey in recovery. But I found as I was doing it, the show, that I was recovery. It takes a lot of work, kind of like being in a PhD program, which I've also done. It dominates your life, and I found I got into this show, and I'd put the headphones on, and the little sound would play, blog talk we do, and I would relax and start talking, and I found that when I was in that sort of relaxed and start talking state, I didn't want to talk about the program because I did the program all the rest of the time. This is one time maybe I could just sit because I'm otherwise occupied. I'm not in any danger. Well, I won't say any danger. I don't think I'm going to go over and take a shot while I'm doing the show. It's just not something that's likely to happen. I'm not going to be stressed in that way. So the show became about the only thing in my life that wasn't about the program. So what was it going to be about? Well, I just started speaking as Spirit led me to speak. and hoping that those were the words that somebody somewhere needed to hear. And there are a lot of shows I've done I feel pretty good about, that may very well have been accomplished in some way. There are many shows I feel that I just sat here and whined the whole time about how rotten how things were in my life. But as everything has unfolded over these 4 years, you know, I still have a roof over my head. I still have friends who are willing to help me. I still have family who love me. I still eat probably too much. I still get, you know, a trickle of money coming in here and there, and I'm able to do things now and then, go places, have a little trip. I'm not going to take my trip to Indianapolis this year, not because of all the thing about Indiana this year, but because I feel like I'm going just to say I went. But that means, you know, I do want to try and take some sort of trip every year and get out of the area. It means I have to figure something else I want to do. I haven't really given that much thought yet. So the show evolves and continues to evolve. I know some people are trying to push me in a direction. I know some people who are probably listening right now, I know because they're sending me messages on Facebook, want me to make the show longer, and I don't really feel that, but a lot of people, I guess, want more mud toe. But then the people who want more mud toe are the ones who could call me and have more mud toe anytime they want it. Particularly my cousin, JR, who's hoping, fingers crossed, is going to come down to Columbus, spend some time with me here, not this month, the month of May, which has just started, but the month of June, because we have an event coming up in my big city where one of his favorite movies is being shown on the big screen. And I, for one, love that when they bring back the old movies and put them on the big screen. And they have an old movie house that's been beautifully restored. Sits across from the state house in my major city in the Midwest. Columbus, Ohio is what the city is. I don't know why I feel the need to be cagey about that. It's Columbus, Ohio. And it's called the Ohio Theater. And it's used to be, what was it? Was it the Paramount? It was a Paramount movie house. The studios used to own the theaters where their movies played. And so it was a Paramount movie house back in the day. And then it had fallen into disrepair. It was about to be knocked down, and somebody bought it and saved it. And they do a lot of live theater now, and then they also have this summer movie series where they bring back the old movies. And I guess it's coming up on 50 years now that they've been doing that summer movie series. It's actually, the theater has actually been in its present configuration, its present state, for longer than it was originally a Paramount movie house. So these things can't happen. I try to remind myself of that as I take the bus and ride and see just hundreds of derelict buildings that just need nothing more than someone to love them. And then as you get out towards the outside of the city, seeing all these just brand new condos and stores going up, things that aren't really, needed, things if you could bring some money back into the neighborhoods, the neighborhoods might come back. You might not have riots going on, if it's just a little bit of an investment was made, and instead of just neglecting the inner city where the people, I don't know. I just get so tied up in this, and then I read what people say about it on Facebook, and they make me angry, and the situation makes me angry. It's not. We've been taught to live in this world of us against them, and that's what's killing us right now. Because it's not us against them. We all live on this planet. We all live together. And everything that happens to one group of people affects everybody else. And there's no way around that. And no matter how much we puff ourselves up and we talk about, American exceptionality or whatever way we're coming at it, whatever happens to these people who we just wish would disappear because they annoy us, whatever it is that happens to them is going to affect us in the long run. So sooner we learn that, the better off we'll be. Will we learn it? I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller, as I've told many people. But the other thing that that happens with the... Oh, gosh, I totally lost my thought. It's gone. Okay, I'll move on to something else. I'm not even going to... Oh, hold up. I have somebody here who's been holding, and I'm going to go ahead and pick up this call. Normally, I don't. But since it's the fourth anniversary, perhaps it's someone I know calling in. So many of the shows, actually, I think all of the other shows on this network do psychic readings. I don't do that. I think sometimes I get phone calls from people who are expecting that. And then I pick up the phone, and they're all, hey, and then wait a minute. And then there's a thing with this, too. Doggone it, I think I just, maybe I, because I'm notoriously bad with picking up these phone calls. And often I pick up the calls of people who don't want me to pick up their call. And then I won't say anybody's ever gotten upset over that, but they have gotten, no, I didn't want you to pick up my call. There's something I'm supposed to look for on this thing that tells me they want me to pick up their call, and I'm not seeing anything special on here. So maybe I'm just going to take back everything I just said. And hopefully, maybe if you can go into the caller, if you do want me to pick up this call, you can actually get on the chat room. It's on the webpage, the Blog Talk Radio webpage that's for this show. If you look up Mudto Sasquatch, it'll take you to that. And there's a chat room on the page, and you could log into that and just say, hey, pick up the phone, dummy. In lieu of that, let me get Walking Dry Places out before we run out of time, which, of course, we are. May 2nd for Walking Dry Places. The topic is Look Out for Power Trips, Understanding Hidden Motives. We can often use a lofty reason to disguise a hidden motive behind our actions. We might be seeking power over people's lives, for example, when claiming that we're only out to help them. We may argue for a point of view only to establish a position of power. Such power trips are destructive, and others usually see them for what they really are. If we've really accepted the principles of the 12 steps, we have no need for power trips. The logic of step 11, for example, is that we'll always have the power needed to carry out what is in line with God's will for us. We do not have to jostle and manipulate others to establish our importance or our authority. When we really come to terms with our own tendencies to take power trips, we'll be able to deal with others who come on strong with their power trips. We'll soon perceive that such threats usually fade when we refuse to resist them or be upset by them. I'll undoubtedly meet people today who are maneuvering for power in different situations. I will neither criticize nor oppose them. My responsibility today is to avoid any of my own tendencies to take such power trips, like, say, criticizing all the people on Facebook for talking about a certain topic in a way that I don't like. That's right. You know, I'll jump right in there with them and pontificate, because, you know, each of us has all the answers, and all right-thinking people feel the same way that we do. More of a map. Let's take a look at the Shaman Tarot, shall we? Have to, because we're running out of time. I'm going to cut the cards. I'm thinking about putting a Shaman Tarot feature on my Facebook page. I'm wondering if anybody has the input about that. The difficulty is with the card. I don't want to put an image of the card on the Facebook page. First of all, I don't have a way to do it. Second is it's copyrighted material. So I just have to sort of describe it the way I do here on the radio, and that can get kind of awkward. We'll see what happens. Okay, I got a card, and this is the Five of Bows. And a bow is being like a bow and arrow bow. Boing, not bows like the radio. And the picture is a gentleman, and he's in front of a sort of three-sided mirror, like you see at the clothing shop. And the mirror is reflecting him in three different ways. The way he's dressed in the in the sort of real picture, which is a modern dress, and then in a native headdress, and then maybe the two on the sides are both native headdresses. It's kind of hard to tell. And I see now he's outdoors, the guy is. He's walking like past a shop window and seeing this. And there are a couple of other people in the shot. But this is the Five of Bows. Let me see what the Five of Bows is all about. If there's any real tarot reader, I'd have memorized all these. So I have bows are about the voyage, and five is appearances, capacity to interpret a variety of roles, difficulty in knowing how to understand the essence of things, masks, fiction, spiritual dogmatism. Weren't we just talking about that? We're talking about something like that anyway, about people representing. We were talking about that. What we got here? I keep stopping here because I'm looking at my Facebook, because things keep coming in. This is a about a tarot card image being copyrighted. JR just commented about my saying that the tarot images are copyrighted. Well, it's a maybe they can't be. I don't know, but it's a different tarot, and there's a handcrafted image on each one. I have to presume that somebody somewhere owns it, because we're all good Americans. We have to own things. But anyway, well, I go on YouTube to watch a video of an old song or something I like, and then an ad comes up. And it's a 50-year-old song. Everybody who has anything to do with it is dead, but they're still selling stuff with it. Who owns the song? How can anybody own that piece of music? So how can anybody own a tarot card? But they do, because that's how we position ourselves in society, is by how much stuff we have, how much so it's not logical. If you have something that you can derive an income from, you should do it. And once you have income, it becomes easier to devise the structures that create more income. And that's the beginning of hegemony, or at least an economic kind of hegemony, that an elite, generally an economic and social elite, sets the rules. I don't know if much is said about how they got to be the elites, but they're the elites, and they set up the rules and then use their power to convince people that they should follow the rules, and to enforce the rules if necessary, and to create you as the other if you don't follow the rules. That's following the rules. Someone who doesn't follow the rules is dangerous, that idea, and they need to be put aside. We're seeing a lot of that right now, people who are dangerous because they don't conform to the standards that have been set by the elites. And the thing is, these things are not, I call them fixed substances. There are no fixed substances. There aren't things that just they are. Whether it's something as sort of trivial as there, the three forms of the word there, or whether it's like what's happening in Baltimore right now. There's this whole belief in fixed substances and things that are real, and that always a standard that always must stand no matter what. And there's no such thing. And yet we structure our lives around those things. We have very nearly come to the end of the fourth anniversary program. That I think this show has probably gone by more quickly than any other show I've ever done. So let's just keep things that way, shall we? Because I have to go to bed, man. I got up at 6 this morning to go to work, and you guys want me to stay up late to do a radio show. You can't just take. No, you don't. I love you all. I love you for listening to the show. I love you for being there for me. And let's do this for another 4 years. Thanks for joining me this evening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye now.